You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
When Rahima Shah was provided housing by House of Welcome, one of the services under St. Francis Social Services, she thought it was a godsend, as she and her five children and husband with a disability were about to become homeless. The charity immediately stepped in and provided the family with free accommodation for 2 weeks. But Ms. Shaw claims what has followed since has left them living under constant threat of instant eviction. She says it's affecting her mental health and that of her children.
In 2018, I moved to the property of House of Welcome, and my SRSV, Mrs. Shaw, and my caseworker from the family services, because my kids are going to be homeless, they move us here. And he said this property is like free of rent, no charge. But when we move after 2 weeks, they can put us at 30% of the charge.
For a five-bedroom home in George's Hall, worth, according to realestate.com.au, between $400 and $500 a week in rent at least, the Shaw family was only being charged $108 a week. To assess what rent the family should pay, House of Welcome demands to see the family's bank statement. They charge up to 30% of the family's income, but Ms. Shaw says when the family is late paying the rent, or part of the rent, the threats begin.
After 3 months, we have to renew our lease, and whenever I receive the email or I receive the phone call, it's like the full of threats, like, we put you in a jeopardy if you don't do this, we kick you off, you in a big trouble. If you do this, you have no like visitor allowed, you do this.
SBS News was shown several emails sent to the Shaw family from House of Welcome. One of them was sent on the 25th of November last year to the Shaw family, showing they were 20 days behind in rent and also owing $20 on top of that. The email demanded immediate payment or the family of seven's occupancy would be put in jeopardy. SBS made several attempts to contact the email's author to learn what in jeopardy means exactly, but all calls, messages, and emails went unanswered.
My housing manager, she always, if you don't do this, like, I'm a $20 behind my rent, and she will set me, you are $20 behind the rest. If you are not doing until next Thursday, I will put you in jeopardy.
Dulce Munoz with advocacy group Mums for Refugees is familiar with the Shaw family's troubles. She has concerns about some processes used by refugee and asylum seeker housing agencies in general.
In my experience, there is a lot of fear tactics used for people to comply with their so-called obligations. And even for me, there is a lack of clarity. Like, there is a lack of clarity in the process and in the way they fundraise or the way they case manage the families. I see a lot of people calling me really upset about phone calls that they have with agencies saying that they're gonna send them out on the streets if they don't pay the rent.
One woman who worked at House of Welcome in a senior role for 2 years told SBS News she left the charity because she had concerns, including about how asylum seekers and refugees are treated there. She asked that SBS News identify her only as Jenny, as she fears repercussions because she still works with refugees and asylum seekers. She says she's concerned that her involvement in this report could affect the services she provides. This is from her statement, but not in her voice.
I worked at the House of Welcome for nearly 2 years. I was shocked by the way people were treated. The lack of respect was something I found very, very upsetting. I saw the way people were talked to. It felt so very belittling and abusive. I know of families that were told they would be evicted from their housing and given a date in which they were to leave. It was only the intervention of external organizations that stopped this from occurring.
According to the occupancy agreement issued by House of Welcome to the Shaw family, the charity reserves the right to immediately terminate the occupancy of the residents. Listed reasons for doing so include being drunk on the property, for having visitors before or after hours, for failing to produce bank statements, for making threats to staff, for any nuisance or annoyance, for possession of drugs or weapons on the property, and for instances of domestic violence. The occupancy agreement states, if you do not leave voluntarily, the police will be called and arrangements will be made to change the locks. The CEO of the Tenants Union of New South Wales, Leo Patterson Ross, reviewed the Shaw family occupancy agreement last week. In his opinion, the agreement raises a number of concerns.
Yeah, there's a number of things that are a worry about the way that the tenancy agreement is written. For starters, it refers to itself as an occupancy agreement rather than a residential tenancy agreement. And an occupancy agreement in New South Wales, it usually refers to an agreement in a boarding house where you're sharing facilities with other people, and you don't have coverage under the Residential Tenancies Act, which is what everyone who rents their home has. The way that the lease talks about the property makes it clear that this person should have a tenancy agreement. They control the whole house. They're not sharing facilities with other people, and they're paying rent for their right to stay.
Mr. Ross believes that although the charity makes occupants sign what it calls an occupancy agreement, that agreement is, in his opinion, a tenancy contract.
Just the language that's being used is a little bit of a worry to start with. But luckily, and people should know this, it doesn't matter what language is used in contracts, particularly housing contracts in New South Wales. What matters is the way that the parties treat each other. So if your contract calls itself an occupancy agreement or says that the Tenancy Act doesn't apply or does any of these things, but the actual way the landlord and tenant interact with each other is consistent with a tenancy agreement, then the Tenancy Act applies and the rights under the Tenancy Act applies.
Mr. Ross also had some concerns about the part of the agreement that threatens immediate termination of the lease and the forced eviction of tenants.
Some of the other elements that are concerning are the rules around eviction. So the agreement says that a person can be evicted immediately for some breaches of the contract. Now, that's not allowed under tenancy law. And in fact, it's not even allowed under the Boarding Houses Act that the occupancy agreements usually refers to. Under tenancy law, any eviction has to be done by a service of a notice of termination. And if the tenant doesn't vacate, then the landlord has to apply to the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal for orders that the tenancy is terminated.
The tenants union head says the document appears to overextend the power of the landlord.
There are some other terms in the lease which are concerning because they try and take the power of the landlord beyond what tenancy agreement can control. So one of the key ones here is that if the tenant is found to be drunk in the premises, that they can be evicted apparently without notice. Now, part of the point of a tenancy agreement is that you have control of the premises and can live your life in a normal way in your home. You are renting the right to use that place as your home. And being drunk may not be fun for the people around you potentially, but it is not unlawful, it's not illegal, and it can't be restricted in a tenancy agreement. And you certainly can't be evicted without notice, which is what this tenancy agreement tries to do.
Mr. Ross says anyone that evicts a tenant without a tribunal decision can face fines of up to $22,000. SBS News approached St. Francis Social Services, which runs House of Welcome. Its CEO, Peter Hennessy, responded in a statement.
SFSS has worked in the charity sector for over 40 years and we're very proud of our achievements. We strongly reject any implication of breaches of New South Wales laws and any inferences of financial mismanagement. As an organisation, we are passionate and committed to assisting disadvantaged members of our community, including refugees and asylum seekers.
Mr. Hennessy's statement refutes the tenant union's assertions on the nature of the agreement.
Our refugee and asylum seeker clients are not tenants, do not sign a tenancy agreement, and are therefore not regulated by the New South Wales Residential Tenancies Act. They sign an occupancy agreement and pay an occupancy fee if they have an income. This arrangement reflects the charitable nature of our housing program and is better suited to the transitional needs of our clients.
Mr. Hennessy further explains.
Only 30 to 55% of clients pay an occupancy fee. This depends on their personal circumstances, including whether they have the right to work. Those who have an income are asked to pay an occupancy fee of up to 30% of their income.
Mr. Hennessy says this is consistent with the fees charged by other social housing providers and added,
clients are asked to contribute up to 10% of their utility bills and House of Welcome pays the remaining 90% of all utility bills. The accommodation charge is abated while clients have no income support and House of Welcome pays for all of the housing costs.
Mr. Hennessy says House of Welcome provides transitional housing for refugees and asylum seekers, aiming to provide short-term housing for up to 12 months, during which dedicated efforts are made to transition clients to other longer-term appropriate accommodation. However, Ms. Shaw, who has been living in House of Welcome accommodation since 2018, says the charity has not provided any kind of training or support to help her family leave House of Welcome and become more independent.
They never introduced me to the new pupils, like I can work or maybe I able to work. I never see there any of like working employment program, never.
So they don't provide employment and training?
No.
They don't provide you...
Do
they try to get you out of the house and help you find a new place?
No. They just only threat you leave the house, you leave the house.
According to Jenny, those renting from House of Welcome have to be involved in various programs to be able to access the food bank.
The system used to provide services is called a wraparound service. What this means is that a person has to be involved in all parts of the service to be able to get access to the food bank. If you live in the housing, you have to be involved in the employment program, and then you can access the food bank.
Mr. Hennessy denies this, stating clients do not need to be part of any program to access the food bank. Ms. Shaw says demands are made of her to provide services for House of Welcome that she has no choice in and do not benefit her.
Yes, I work, I make pillows for the House of Welcome, I make curtain for the House of Welcome, like I know sewing, I run like many workshops with them, I go to their Women's Creative Hub, which is run by the House of Welcome, but like they never pay me anything, I make the pillows, like bundle of pillows, I make aprons for them, I make cushions. Cushion for them. I run the scrunchies workshop for them, but they don't pay me anything, nothing.
Ms. Munoz from Moms for Refugees believes the housing process is not healthy.
In all honesty, I think that the process of housing is almost like indentured slavery. Like they go to their houses, but then they surrender their agency to the agencies that work with refugees. We had an experience of a lot of families coming to Moms for Refugees for the help they didn't get from agencies.
According to its annual financial report published in June of 2020, St. Francis Social Services spends 72.7% of income on staff costs and 11.3% on client support services. Mr. Hennessy says the 2020 financial statements of St. Francis Social Services are a consolidation between C360, a program that provides counseling and other programs for young disadvantaged people aged 12 to 24, some of whom are at risk of homelessness, and the House of Welcome. He says the staff costs referred to in the financial statement are not administrative staff costs, but the costs of staff providing core services such as counseling, casework, and housing. He says there's nothing exceptional in these figures when one looks at the services St. Francis Social Services provides. Mr. Hennessy expressed significant concern at the issues raised by Ms. Shaw and has asked for more information in order to investigate the matter. SBS News will be providing Mr. Hennessy with the emails. What the outcome for the Shaw family will be remains to be seen. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.